Good morning. Welcome each of you to the Lord's house this morning. Please take a moment to sign the friendship register at the end of each row closest to the center aisle and then pass it on to the neighbor seated next to you. Please also take a look at your bulletins for a number of events taking place during the month of September. There are several committee meetings. There's a board meeting toward the end of the month and weekly Bible studies on Wednesdays. There's also a Men of Faith meeting later this month, although no meal will be served due to the mask mandate, which remains in place. Also, be reminded that we won't be celebrating the Lord's Supper in a tangible way by passing the physical communion elements, nor will we be passing the offering plate during the mask mandate, but we do appreciate your tithes and offerings, either in the offering tray back in the foyer, or you may send them to the church office as well. We're still in need of a number of items for our food pantry, through which we continue to serve many families here in the Clay and Platte County areas of the Northland. These items may be brought to the church office between 8 o'clock and 3 o'clock on weekdays. That being said, the church office will be closed tomorrow for the Labor Day holiday. And lastly, please do remember that we post the audio of our entire Sunday service to our BerryChristianChurch.com website. It's underneath the sermons tab. It's usually uploaded by Sunday afternoon or early Sunday evenings. All right, now may we begin our worship service with our call to worship. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Praise the Lord with all our hearts. We will thank the Lord in the assembly of his people. All he does is full of honor and majesty. His righteousness is eternal. Let us sing our opening hymn. We gather together. It's hymn number 276. We'll sing all stanzas.
Gather together to ask for God's blessing, to turn to our wisdom surpassing our own. The powers that oppress us now cease to distress us. O God, be present with us and make your will known. Beside us to guide us, O God, we perceive you, ordaining, maintaining the power of life. Yes, yours be the glory, let all tell the story. Our God be ever with us in gladness and strife. May all sing your praises, Redeemer triumphant. Defend us, befriend us, whatever may be. May your congregation escape tribulation. Your name be praised forever, O God, make us free.
May we bow in a word of prayer. Eternal God, we once again give thanks for the privilege of gathering in your house on this beautiful Sunday morning. We are grateful for this place of worship and prayer and fellowship and teaching. O God, we especially give thanks for the safety and peace that we find within the space of our sanctuary. We give thanks for those we gather with and the meaningful relationships we enjoy with each other. And we especially give thanks for the life and teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of 190, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus, I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning, Jeffy. How are you this morning? Good. I'm glad to hear it. I got a question for you. When it's time to say your prayers, do you ever have a hard time thinking of something to say? I mean, come on. It's God we're talking about here. He already knows everything, huh? Yeah, he already knows what we're thinking, and he already knows what we're feeling. So sometimes it's just really hard. Did you know that even the disciples had a hard time thinking of things to pray for sometimes? They did. In today's lesson, they even asked Jesus, they say, Lord, teach us how to pray. They didn't know. They weren't sure the best way to do it. And so Jesus taught them the Lord's Prayer. We know that one, don't we? We say it downstairs all the time, don't we? Yeah, we've been studying it for a while. We're going to probably study it a little bit more. I'll bet Mr. Jim has some more stuff he's going to tell us about it today. Yeah. So Jesus taught them that as a way to show them how they should pray. Not that they should just always say the Lord's Prayer, but basically, you know what Jesus said? He said, keep it simple. Don't get it too complicated. God just wants you to be with him, to talk to him, to pray with him. Can we have a little prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning. We thank you that Jeff D's able to be here with us and that all of our friends in Christ are here. Please help us to learn more about the way we should speak with you, that our hearts convey what we want them to. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. We're certainly praying for the many among us that we know are out and about traveling this weekend and wish them safe travels. I'm thinking we also might want to pray for the person who decided to steal our American flag outside. It was a brand new flag. We just put it up this past Thursday, but apparently from Friday to this morning, somebody decided that they needed that flag more than we did. Isn't that something? Tell you what. Folks that we're lifting up in prayer, we want to lift up Helen Kirby. She is going to be going through a heart catheterization on Wednesday of this week, but that is all in preparation for an aortic valve replacement that is scheduled for Thursday, the 30th of September. Lauren is also having some health concerns as well, so please remember Lauren and Helen Kirby. We lift up Brittany Egret. She's now home from a brief hospital stay this past week. We also are remembering, of course, Jerry Treese and Betty Donahue, Kathy Gorman, Michelle Jacobo and Perla Mora, Grace and Jean Kimberling and Jill Gregory. And among family members, we're remembering Susan Cox's husband, Rick Parvin, glad to know that he is now home. Lana Witten's daughter, Beth Witten, has discovered that she has a melanoma cancer on her arm. She's going through a consultation for that the 13th of September. Linda Stevens' nephew, Colson, is having surgery this coming Thursday. Both bones of the lower portion of one of his legs were fractured playing soccer. And so he's going to be at Children's Mercy Hospital for surgery this Thursday. Emily Sterling, she is the girlfriend of Susan Hank's grandson, Jake. And Emily was also hospitalized briefly this past week, but is now home. And Ruth Ann, we're certainly always remembering Rihanna in our prayers every week, every day. And London, we're remembering your grandmother, Rita, certainly, day by day. And Kathleen, we're keeping Craig in our prayers, hoping that he's seeing still good, steady progress here. As we also remember John and Mary Jane Adams' great-grandson, Winston, Kathy Connell's son and daughter-in-law, Robbie and Laura, we're keeping Dean Chester in our prayers, as well as John Berman's father, Robert, Kelly Jackson's mother, Pat, Kathy Gorman's mother, Wilma, in Edna Williams' family, Kay and Anna, and Patty Miller's sister, Nancy. Also, some of you may remember Bob and Jackie Rockhold. You know, they were here a part of our church before they moved to Arkansas when Bob retired from General Motors. Jackie's going to be coming back here to Lenexa, Kansas, for some surgery sometime later this month. And significant concern, so we want to certainly keep them in prayer. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we are privileged to once again assemble in your house of worship and to honor your name and appreciate our renewal in spirit through our fellowship with fellow believers in Christ. Mindful of the never-ending weather-related events that have affected us this summer, we offer our prayers and our support, O God, for the fellow citizens in the Gulf Coastal region in the Northeast, now striving to clean up from the damage of Hurricane Ida, even while other citizens are still contending with damaging fires in the western states. We pray for the families of those who have lost loved ones, those recovering from injuries, and the many striving to piece together homes, businesses, and communities. We pray for the tens of thousands of refugees now striving to establish themselves in new homelands, as we also pray for the thousands rendering aid. We pray for the families still losing loved ones to the coronavirus, as the number of deaths has now passed more than 1,000 each day in our nation. We pray also for the many traveling this Labor Day weekend in their efforts to feel the living presence of dear loved ones and friends. And as we are privileged to honor the labors of our hands, hearts, and minds on this Labor Day holiday weekend, we give you thanks, O God, for the blessing of our skills and talents that afford us the opportunities to experience the satisfaction of task well done, as we also strive to provide for those whom we love and care for. For as Proverbs 16, verse 3 reminds us, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. And as 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us, we hope that whatever we may do, it will always be for your glory. This be our prayer this Labor Day Sunday, as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. And worship you. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. Jesus. When you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. When you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise, 'cause there is resurrection life in all you do. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. Jesus, come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. Our community reflection today focuses on our prayer life, as we'll begin a new series of messages today about our prayers with a focus on the Lord's Prayer. And so the text tells us, pray without ceasing. Offer petitions, prayers, requests, and thanksgiving to God for all people. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And our hymn of contemplation, we're going to sing the Lord's Prayer. We'll sing it once. It's hymn number 307 in your hymnal.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Observing Jesus praying, one of his disciples requested in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. And with that request, Jesus shared with them the Lord's Prayer, as we just sung it a moment ago. Today and in the weeks to come, we'll experience the depth of meaning revealed through Jesus' own prayer life, and also by the example he sets forth for us through the most a familiar of prayers, the Lord's Prayer. And so our text this morning, Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say this, Father, may your holy name be honored. May your kingdom come. Give us day by day the food we need. Forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone who does us wrong. And do not bring us into hard testing. Now, did you notice that the ending that we normally have for the Lord's Prayer is not there? And that's because it was actually added on later. May we have our word of prayer. Lord God, we're grateful for the privilege to once again gather in your house, to understand your word, and to realize what it means for each of us to be drawn ever closer in relationship to you. For we know that we are all upon a journey in which we will one day share in your eternal glory. That is the destiny, and that is our hope as believers in Christ. And may we understand, O God, that our prayer journey is one of the ways in which we are drawn ever closer to you spiritually, as certainly was the case for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Observing Jesus praying was not an uncommon occurrence for Jesus' disciples, as we know that Jesus prayed endlessly. And finding a time of personal solace with God was an ongoing discipline for Jesus. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, for example, tells us that long before daylight, Jesus got up and left the house. Here, this is one particular instance. And he went out of town to a lonely place where he prayed. In other words, he was always so occupied with the concerns of other people, he had to leave early in the morning just to be able to find a time of quiet solitude where he could devote himself in prayerful contemplation before God. And as you read further on in that text of Mark's gospel, we discover that the disciples, you know, start hunting for them because they can't find him as that morning progressed. And as followers of Christ, Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, that we are to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. And as a congregation centered on Christ, we also collectively focus our singularly important task of ongoing prayer before God. And since January the 1st of this year, our prayer chain messages that I've sent out on behalf of you all as members of the congregation actually constitute 16,500 words and take up 45 pages of 12-pitch single-space typing in a file in my computer. So, 16,500 words we've lifted up before God, just us, in those messages that I've sent out. Imagine what it's like, the constant stream of conversation being lifted up into the heavens, and we're only a part of that. And we affirm Paul's words to the church in Philippi as he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God." So we know that's okay. It's certainly very much okay for us to be lifting up our request before our Creator God. But for today's message, what I would like to focus on is that although we realize that Jesus prayed to God on so many occasions in striving to meet the needs of others, and there are even instances where it seems that Jesus gives thanks for that which he believes is going to happen even before it happens. That's the prayer, for example, in the raising of Lazarus. He prays, giving thanks to God as if it had already taken place, when in fact it had not yet, you see. But it was the sense of confidence that Jesus prayed so fervently before God. But we also must understand that Jesus prayed to keep a very deep spiritual relationship between himself and God going, and so that he could also keep on track with God's purpose, which was for him to be that avenue of salvation for humanity. So you see, Jesus prayed not only for the needs of others, he prayed to keep on track in his relationship with God. We, on the other hand, must recognize that most of our prayers are focused on requests, and often requests in which we are looking for very specific results. Attending a small southern church, the worshipers observed the ruckus up at the front pew caused by a rather rambunctious little type. And as the frustrated father hurried down the center aisle with his young son slung under his arm, the child cried out to the congregation, "Y'all pray for me now." Another young man had been sent to his room because he had been bad A short time later, he came out and said to his mother, "I've been thinking about what I did, and I said a prayer." "Well, that's fine," his mother said. "If you ask God to make you good, he'll help you." "Oh, I didn't ask God to help me be good," replied the boy. "I asked God to help you put up with me." Right? Sometimes we pray seeking out results, don't we? But focusing back on Jesus and his prayer life, we must first observe that John's gospel tells us that Jesus existed as part of God even before the world was created, and several texts back that up. John chapter 1, verse 14 tells us that Christ became a human being and full of grace and truth, lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 then tells us that Jesus gave up all he had and took on the nature of a servant. He became like humanity and appeared in a human likeness. Verse 8 then says that Jesus was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, his death on the cross, as he fulfilled God's salvation plan for you and for me. But what we must come to appreciate is that it was through the discipline of continued prayer, that Jesus avoided temptation and stayed on track to fulfill that plan of salvation. This is affirmed to us in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. The text tells us this: in his life on earth, Jesus made his prayers and requests with loud cries and tears to God, who could save him from death. Because he was humbled and devoted, God heard him. But even though he was God's son, he learned through his sufferings to be obedient. And when he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And God declared him to be the high priest, the successor of Melchizedek. And although we have a multitude of occasions in which Jesus did pray for the benefit of others in need, we see that Jesus also prayed in order to avoid temptation and to stay spiritually connected to God and connected to God's purposes all the way to the cross. What were some of those instances? Well, Luke chapter 3, verse 21 tells us that it was while Jesus was praying at the time of his baptism that the Holy Spirit came down upon him and affirmed Jesus by saying, "You are my dear son. I am pleased with you." So see, even there at the very beginning of his ministry, the affirmation that he was on the right track came to him in the form of a voice while he was doing what? While he was praying, even as he was baptized by John the Baptist. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13 tell us that Jesus went up on a hill to pray and spent the whole night there praying to God before he selected the 12 apostles. So anytime Jesus had a significant decision to make, he consulted God in prayer. Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 35 tell us that Jesus was praying when the transfiguration took place. And again, a voice came forth from heaven and affirmed Jesus' ministry to Simon Peter, James, and John, the three disciples who were part of the inner circle. As the voice then said in this instance, again, as Jesus had been praying, "Listen to my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." In Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46, tell us that Jesus was filled with anguish as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane in the Mount of Olives before he was arrested. And again, we remember in that prayer, this is where Jesus says, "Not my will, but thy will be done," as he anguished over this whole notion of having to suffer through the extreme difficulty of the crucifixion. But again, as he was striving to not stray away, but to stay true to God's course of action, not my will, but thy will be done. And the 43rd verse of Luke chapter 22 tells us then that it was in the midst of this time of praying that an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And even in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, this text tells us that Jesus' very last words on the cross were indeed addressed to God as a prayer, as he cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." So do you see, time and time and time again, Jesus uses prayer as that conduit of connectedness between himself and God to help him stay on track, to help him to stay away from temptation, and to also strengthen that bond of connectedness that he had with God. We must have a tremendous appreciation for the notion that Jesus knew something that we do not know, and that was, what is it like to be in the divine presence of the holiness of God in the eternal realm? Jesus knew what that was like. And to give that up, to come and be separated from God and to live as mere mortals like you and me, that was a tremendous leap of faith, if you will, on the part of that portion of God which became the Son of God. Right? That's a tremendous leap. It is no wonder that Jesus continued to cultivate, nurture, and strengthen that prayer life as he journeyed here on earth. And what an example, therefore, he sets for you and me, for prayer to be a conscious act, a conscious discipline as we walk through our lives day after day, hour after hour. And so when one of the disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray," we know that Jesus then shared with all of the disciples what we now call the Lord's Prayer. That prayer is actually a template of what our prayer should be like. And we're going to take closer look at each of the various parts of the Lord's Prayer beginning next Sunday. And that series of messages will carry us till about the middle portion of October. So you got to be here. We don't want you to miss a Sunday so you can get each part, right? But what have we learned today from the example that Jesus' daily prayer life is that Jesus' prayers were a way for Jesus to be spiritually connected to God, to avoid temptation, and to stay on track with God's plan for the salvation of humanity. And for Jesus' disciplined prayer life, we are indeed forever grateful. For where would humanity be if Christ had failed to follow through with God's plan to the very end? And in like fashion, our daily discipline of prayer can equally help us to stay spiritually connected to God so that we too can bring glory to God here on earth in the days that God allots to us. And so this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I would propose to you that prayer, it just isn't about requests. Requests are important. And certainly appropriate. But prayer is also our means to be spiritually connected with God, that we might serve God's purposes for God's glory in the days God gives us. Do you believe that? I hope you do. I hope that'll carry you forward. But again, I ask you the question, Do you know Jesus Christ? Is he your Lord and Savior? If he isn't, today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. But today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. Our hymn of invitation, number 581, Near to the Heart of God. We stand and sing All Stanzas, Please.
Of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before you, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before you, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release, near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before you, near to the heart of God.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this Labor Day Sunday, and I wish you the very best, and especially if you may be doing some traveling through the balance of the weekend and the holiday, we pray for God's safety and guidance to be with you. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us to be a living witness, and for this truth we give thanks as we journey forward. May we always be in a spirit of prayer, knowing your Holy Spirit desires to guide us moment by moment. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do you
friends despise, forsake you. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there.